You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
Hello and welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. This is Jess P.S., the producer of this fine program. Today, Dom and I are taking the day off, so we are revisiting a few of our favorite moments. In this hour, our interviews with Attorney General Josh Call, our friend, podcaster, prognosticator, and pundit Bill Press, and some talks with our friend Matt Rothschild. First up, our talk with Attorney General Josh Call on the lawsuit that Wisconsin joined opposing President Trump's attempt to revoke birthright citizenship.
Jazzed as hell to introduce to you from the top, Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin. Josh, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show.
Thanks for having me. It's good to be here.
It's a pleasure, Josh. Appreciate you making the time today. Obviously, the issue of the day, and there is breaking news on this, the administration's executive order that Trump signed, basically doing away with, by the executive order, birthright citizenship. The breaking news, federal judge today issued a two-week restraining order striking that down. So that is where we stand right now. And this is one of many lawsuits out there. And Josh, you have involved Wisconsin in one of the many lawsuits. Let's start at the beginning, if you would, please, sir. What was the executive order? What was it intended to do? And why do you think it's problematic and unconstitutional?
Yeah, so first of all, on Donald Trump's first day in office, he signed a number of executive orders, and one of them purported to end birthright citizenship for some kids. So these are certain kids who are born in the United States, and Trump was trying to deny them citizenship. The problem with that is, first of all, the U.S. Constitution very clearly says that if you're born in the United States and subject to the jurisdiction thereof, that you're a U.S. citizen.
Yeah.
There's also U.S. Supreme Court precedent that goes back more than 100 years directly on this issue. And on top of that, there's federal law that makes clear that kids who are born in this country are U.S. citizens. And so this is clearly an unconstitutional action. The court in Washington State, the federal court there today, said that this action was blatantly unconstitutional. And so on the first day in office, the new president was blatantly violating the U.S. Constitution. So we have stepped in along with a number of other states to protect the rights of kids who are born in our state and thereby are Wisconsin citizens.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin, joining us along with Earl Ingram as well. Josh, what I didn't understand, and the logic, and my understanding, this was brought up during the discussion today. If a person is not subject to the jurisdiction of this country, and therefore, how could the federal government prosecute them or state government prosecute them? It seems asinine on its face, sir.
Yeah, it's an incredibly narrow exception, and courts have actually weighed in on what this means. But if, for example, if you are a foreign diplomat in the country and you have diplomatic immunity, that would be an example of somebody who's not subject to the jurisdiction. It's a very narrow category.
Right.
It does not apply to kids who are born in the United States under circumstances other than those very rare circumstances. And so this is not a serious argument. The other thing is, these kinds of arguments have been made before and they've been rejected. So
yeah.
What we have is the Trump administration directing federal agencies, and that in turn means state agencies have to take action, to do something that has been established to be unconstitutional. And that's not at all what our president should be doing. He just took an oath to uphold and defend the Constitution. And here he is on his first day in office violating it.
Not surprisingly, unfortunately, Attorney General Call, my understanding, there was a late filing on Wednesday from the Trump administration challenging whether or not the states have standing. What's your thought on that?
Well, this has big impacts on states. This is an argument we see in a lot of cases, but And we laid this out in the case that we're involved in. It also came up in this case in Washington. But there are a number of things that states have to do to comply with this order if it's put into effect. For example, right now when there's a child born in Wisconsin, we know that that's a U.S. citizen. But if this order that the Trump administration put in place were to go into effect, there would have to be an apparatus set up for making that determination on a case-by-case basis. It would also potentially impact federal funding of programs. So there's a real impact on the states. The court in Washington obviously didn't find that issue to be much of a concern. And I'm very optimistic that we will both win on standing and ultimately win this case.
Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin. Josh, what about the state's role in immigration policy? And I asked that question in the context of a three-page Justice Department memo that apparently started circulating yesterday, saying that if the local and state officials don't assist, that what, the federal DOJ is going to go after them. What, sir, you're the head LEO here in the state of Wisconsin. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, first, I think with this new administration, it's important to separate out what's real from what's just a scare tactic or what's bluster. And I think that this new memo falls into the later category. The reality is, first of all, that state and local officials all over the country follow the law and comply with the law. At the same time, we have a role to play in stepping up to protect people's rights. And our system is based on the idea that states are their own sovereigns and they have a right to take action. That's a long established tradition in the United States. And the Trump administration is trying to run over that. Again, the Constitution has set up this system and the Trump administration is disregarding it. And it's important to note that all this stuff is happening in the context of the pardons that were issued on the first day that Trump had in office. Over 1,500 people associated with January 6th were pardoned. And that includes people who engaged in violent activities. A few of them received terrorism enhancements in their sentences. And what Donald Trump did is he sided with people convicted of crimes over the police officers who were the victims of those crimes. So again, it's a complete disrespect for the rule of law in our system of government. It's a really disastrous first week that the Trump administration has had.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Attorney General Josh Call joining us this segment. Just a practical matter, and I want to get to the pardons in just a moment. Help our audience understand why all the different separate lawsuits. I mean, every state could have done one. Wisconsin joined on one. The one that the federal judge in Seattle ruled on today was from four other states. What's the strategy or theory behind that, Josh?
Well, we work very well with other AGs around the country. And in a lot of cases, we do that in a bipartisan fashion. So, for example, when we work to hold opioid companies accountable and work that's still ongoing, by the way, we have worked across the aisle in a bipartisan fashion. But in other issues where there's a partisan divide, like there has been with birthright citizenship, we work together with other Democratic AGs. And so that's what's happened here. Now, as you can imagine, there are a lot of states in the country, and we don't all agree necessarily in every case on strategy or approach. And so it's not uncommon for there to be more than one suit going on. I believe there are also there's at least one other case that was brought by a nonprofit group. So it's not unusual. And what tends to happen is either courts will rule consistently and that will sort of resolve the issue, or in an issue that either the courts disagree on or that's of sufficiently high profile that the Supreme Court wants to get involved, the U.S. Supreme Court ultimately resolves the issue, and that governs for all the cases. So we'll see which case proceeds the quickest here, but we feel good about the case we're a part of, and I'm optimistic we'll be successful.
So, good afternoon, Attorney General Call. How are you?
Good. Yeah,
it's good to hear your voice again. But I guess what I'd like to ask you is Donald Trump freelancing? I mean, all of these, he has attorneys around him who understand the implications of the decisions that he's making. Or is it that there are gray areas and the attorneys that he has with him are going to challenge these gray areas that you and others know are not gray areas, but a misunderstanding on their issues. Do you think he's doing these things on his own?
No, I think that this is a part of a very carefully laid out strategy. Now, the Trump administration had a lot of time to think about what it was going to be doing when it came into office. And, you know, one thing we've seen with Donald Trump throughout his career is that he has gotten really his entire party to back down and get behind him on whatever issue it is he's addressing. And I think we're seeing a similar effort here. You know, we've seen it with these CEOs of tech companies who are all of a sudden making these huge donations to the inaugural and then showed up at the inauguration. We've seen some concerning self-censorship from the press. And I think this is consistent with that. It's an effort to get the courts or policymakers to back down. And we see that with these threats that are being made in this DOJ memo. But here's the thing. People are not going to back down. People are going to stand up for the rights of, in my case, of Wisconsinites, and in the case of my colleagues in other states, the rights of the people in their states. And we're going to ensure that our Constitution is protected and the rights of Americans are upheld.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Attorney General Josh Call for about 60 more seconds. Josh, with regards to the pardon, as the chief top law enforcement officer in the state of Wisconsin, you know, officers have come from all sorts of political stripes, and they put themselves on the line. And to see this reaction from Donald Trump to pardon even the most violent of criminals and put these folks back out on the street. Have you talked to regular law enforcement officers, and what's their reaction been?
Well, you know, it's interesting. There are a lot of folks out there who normally back Trump who've been critical, including some Republican members of Congress in Wisconsin who've said this went too far. I believe there's a police union that recently came out and criticized this. But you've got Donald Trump opening the jailhouse doors here with people who, in some cases, were convicted of violent crimes to side with them over the police. It's disgraceful.
Absolutely disgraceful. Josh Call, Attorney General from the great state of Wisconsin, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for standing up to Donald Trump and for the Constitution. You know, they used to call him the Republican Party would be proud to be called the Party of Law and Order. I like to think they're the Party of Assault and Battery these days. Josh, thank you so much. We'll look forward to speaking to you real soon.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. Earl Ingram joining me today. You can do so as well on the phones, 855-752-4842. We got a stacked show, man. Bill Press coming in at 5 o'clock. Plus, tell us something good at the end of the show. Once again, 855-75-CIVIC. Come back with us. Architects, the masters of our faith.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Today, we are revisiting some of our favorite moments. Now, let's hear from Bill Press, pundit, prognosticator, and podcaster, on how to navigate through the fire hose of BS from the Trump administration.
Thank you, Bill Press. He's a podcaster, he's a pundit, he's a prognosticator. He's also a pal of ours, throwing all the peas out there. You can find him online, BillPressPods.com. Earl Ingram joining us as well, Jess PS on the board. Bill, if we talk about some of the other executive orders that the administration has put out there, of course, today being the blatantly unconstitutional executive order trying to gut the 14th Amendment. A judge in Seattle, a federal judge, has put a 2-week restraining order on that executive order as the Republicans try to just do away with birthright citizenship, a constitutional amendment with an executive order. There's lots of issues with this bill, but what And I want to put this in the context of the fire hose. You know, there's so much stuff coming at us, and it, we do have to prioritize and pick, you know, pick our battles, essentially. Man, there's only 8 segments in this show. You know what I mean, Bill? How, what do you think is important to address from this first round of couple of days of Donald Trump?
I think the pardons are one of the most, probably the most important, right? Because, hey, Earl, you and I remember when the Republican Party called itself the Party of Law and Order.
Absolutely.
Not anymore. Not anymore.
The right? Party of Assault and Battery, Bill. That's what I've been saying.
I thought it was Assault, Battery, and Corruption.
That's right, ABCs.
ABC.
Yeah, no, absolutely. No, that's what they are. And again, that message to not just to Capitol Police, but to police officers everywhere, right, is as long as it's political violence carried out by our people, our MAGA people, then it's all good, and we got your back. That's the message. I was glad to see the Fraternal Order of Police, which endorsed Donald Trump.
Well,
but yeah, I know.
Yeah, you know, and I've seen some Senator Ron Johnson from the great state of Wisconsin, Derek Van Orden, our drunken buddy over on the Mississippi. Oh, I don't want to see that happen. Yeah, but it did. And what are you going to do about it? Absolutely nothing, Bill.
Absolutely nothing. But at least the Fraternal Order of Police did come out with a statement condemning it. I have not heard one Republican senator. You're right. Some of them have said, well, I wouldn't have gone that far. Oh, surprise, that surprised me. Yeah. But they have not condemned it, not at all, right? So that's one. I think this birthright citizenship is extremely important to me because, look, what did Donald Trump say, right, in his inaugural address? God save me so I could make America great again. Yeah. You know. He thinks he's a divine. He thinks he's king.
Yeah.
He thinks he's got the divine. That's what they say about the King of England, right? God put him there, right? Donald Trump thinks that God put him there, and he doesn't. You notice in his inaugural address, he didn't say, "So I want to work with Congress to do this, do that, do that." No, no, he said, "No, this is what I'm going to do, all by myself, and I got all the power in the world, and I will do it." Well, guess what? It took 2 days for one judge to say, I don't think so. I don't think. You cannot, one man does not have the power, by the way, neither does Congress, to just change the Constitution, right?
Yeah.
If Congress wants to do it, they got to have 3/4 of the states to go along with it. And the president certainly cannot say, I don't buy this 14th Amendment stuff. I know Nikki Haley, for one. I know somebody else. Maybe it's Ramaswamy, who would be deported, right?
Oh, right.
Who would not qualify for citizenship if Donald Trump did that.
It's just terrible. Bill, what about the, and I think earlier you may have mentioned this earlier in the show, the thought that, hey, man, it's just to get the wheels turning on this because it's essentially judge shopping, right? If he can get it in front of a friendly judge or get it in front of a friendly, I don't call it U.S. Supreme Court, man, I think they went against precedent by making, you know, Trump a king essentially in their last ruling. Who's to say if this thing doesn't get kicked up to the U.S. Supreme Court with three of his justices on there, that they don't have some other interpretation of this amendment?
Nothing. Look, there. No, people
That's
ask me. Yeah, it is frightening. But I think there are no guidelines for the next 2 years. There are no guidelines. The guidelines normally would be a Congress. Oh, forget it. Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
With Johnson and John Thune, I mean, no, forget it. Again, they applauded his January 6th pardons. They're gonna approve all of his cabinet nominees. Pete Hegseth, the most unqualified person, he couldn't run a Veterans Association because they had to carry him upstairs drunk every night. Right? That was a group of probably 20 people. He couldn't run that, and now he's going to be in charge of 3 million people at the Pentagon. Right? I mean, it's an insult to anybody who's ever worn the uniform or is wearing it today that this guy could end up there. So you can't count on Congress. The courts, forget it. Again, you may get a lower court that will turn them down. but they'll keep appealing it up to the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court, baby, is all his. Yeah. I mean, 6-3, forget it. Forget it.
So is that your, I mean, that's certainly the possibility, but do you think that would actually happen? Prognosticate for me, Bill.
I think John Roberts and Alito and Clarence Thomas will do anything that Donald Trump wants. Yeah. I mean, I think that's his court. And I think they've, look, the idea to me that this court would even hear a case that says the president is above the law, that they would even agree to take that case, says everything you need to know about the Supreme Court, in my judgment. Yeah, they're all his. So until 2026, there are no guardrails. Just Katie, bar the door.
And we'll be talking about it as much as we can, informing people on sure what we can actually do to stop
and
these things.
And raising hell.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Bill Press, raising hell all the time. Appreciate it when you come around. He's a podcaster. He's a pundit. He's a prognosticator. Find him online at BillPressPod.com. Bill, thank you so much, man. It's been way too long. Looking forward to the next time, as always.
Great to join. Take care, Earl. Take care,
man. You as well, my friend.
All right, folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Got Earl Ingram joining me today. Jess P.S. on the board. We're going to wrap this show up with Tell Us Something Good. In the meantime, taking your calls right now, 855-752-4842. Thanks, Bill.
The Dom Salvia Show as we revisit some of our best moments from the past month. In this half hour, we're going back to January 22nd in our episode with Matt Rothschild, just 2 days after the start of President Trump's second term. Man, was that really less than 3 weeks ago? My goodness, how time stretches. Well, let's go back.
Our co-host today, our friend Matt Rothschild, joining me from the Madison Studios. Jess P.S. is on the board as well. We are listening to sound of Bishop Buddy. She was at the National Prayer Service along with 11 other faith leaders. Easy for me to say. I don't got it. At the Washington National Cathedral, speaking specifically and directly to Donald Trump in many instances. And when she wasn't speaking to him, Matt, I think he kind of thought maybe she still was. Like, everything's about Trump all the time.
He was right. She was right. He was right about that this time, because she was giving it to him directly.
We have some of the sound. I think we cut out on cut number three. Reverend Buddy asking, what would Jesus do? Cut number three.
In his Sermon on the Mount, Jesus of Nazareth exhorts us to love not only our neighbors, but to love our enemies and to pray for those who persecute us, to be merciful as our God is merciful, to forgive others as God forgives us. And Jesus went out of his way to welcome those whom his society deemed as outcasts.
Now, Bishop Buddy, Donald Trump later described in his Truthy Social as nasty in tone, not compelling or smart. Let's skip to number six, please, Jess.
Given this, then, is true unity among us even possible? And why should we care about it? Well, I hope we care. I hope we care. Because the culture of contempt that has become normalized in this country threatens to destroy us. We are all bombarded daily with messages from what sociologists now call the outrage industrial complex. Some of that driven by external forces whose interests are furthered by a polarized America. Contempt fuels political campaigns and social media, and many profit from that. But it's a worrisome It's a dangerous way to lead a country.
Wow, culture of contempt. And she uses the word contempt about five times in this sermon. And, you know, Trump is the most contemptuous person on the face of the earth.
And not very Jesus-like, I would just say, for a guy who has his own Bible. You know what I mean?
He couldn't even put his hand on the Bible to be sworn in.
Yeah, but he has many, many favorite verses. We're going to keep
it's
going on this one.
It's too private to him.
It's so private, yes.
Yeah. Also, that was it. That little bit was a dig at the tech giants, too, who are profiting from the culture of contempt and propagating the culture of contempt.
As well as foreign influences.
Yeah, I was going to say, outside agitators. That's a great point. You know, there's profit to be made. There's, you know, if we can, you know, get at each other's throats, that helps our adversaries. And if people make a little bit of money while they're, why not?
Yeah.
If I make a little money, why not? Let's keep going. We have more from
we do indeed.
Bishop Buddy. Let's hear it.
Like Jesus's analogy of building a house of faith on the rock of his teachings, as opposed to building a house on sand, the foundations we need for unity must be sturdy enough to withstand the many storms that threaten it. And so what are they? The foundations of unity? Drawing from our sacred traditions and texts, let me suggest that there are at least three.
At least three. Oh, let's hear it, man.
All right, the first.
The first foundation for unity is honoring the inherent dignity of every human being, which is, as all the faiths represented here affirm, the birthright of all people as children of our one God. In public discourse, honoring each other's dignity means refusing to mock or discount or demonize those with whom we differ, choosing instead to respectfully debate our differences, and whenever possible, to seek common ground. And if common ground is not possible, dignity demands that we remain true to our convictions without contempt for those who hold convictions of their own.
Reverend Buddy at the National Prayer Service, the first foundation, human dignity. I can see why Trump had a problem with this. Let's keep going. Second foundation.
Yeah. And who could she be talking second about who mocks people all the time? But Trump,
right.
Chief mocker. Mm-hmm.
Second foundation for unity is honesty in both private conversation and public discourse. If we're not willing to be honest, there's no use in praying for unity, because our actions work against the prayers themselves. We might, for a time, experience a false sense of unity among some, but not the sturdier, broader unity that we need to address the challenges that we face.
First foundation, human dignity. Second, honesty. Now let's hear number three, please, Jess.
And the third and last foundation I'll mention today is foundation for unity is humility, which we all need because we are all fallible human beings.
What?
We make mistakes.
What?
We say and do things that we later regret. We have our blind spots and our biases, and perhaps we are most dangerous to ourselves and others when we are persuaded without a doubt that we are absolutely right and someone else is absolutely wrong. Because then we are just a few steps from labeling ourselves as the good people versus the bad people. And the truth is that we're all people. We're both capable of good and bad. Alexander Solzhenitsyn once astutely observed that the line separating good and evil passes not through states, not between classes, nor between political parties, but right through every human heart, through all human hearts. And the more we realize this, the more room we have within ourselves for humility and openness to one another across our differences, because in fact, we are more like one another than we realize, and we need each other.
Reverend Buddy at the National Prayer Service at the Washington National Cathedral. A couple more from the Reverend. Let's play them.
This is moving out of, it appears this may not have been scripted, that she sort of ended her remarks on these foundations of unity and then moved to a private plea.
Let me make one final plea. Mr. President.
Oh.
Millions have put their trust in you. And as you told the nation yesterday, you have felt the providential hand of a loving God.
Yeah, give me a break on that. God,
I ask you to have mercy upon the people in our country who are scared now. There are gay, lesbian, and transgender children in Democratic, Republican, and independent families, some who fear for their lives. And the people who pick our crops and clean our office buildings, who labor in poultry farms and meatpacking plants, who wash the dishes after we eat in restaurants and work the night shifts in hospitals, they may not be citizens or have the proper documentation, but the vast majority of immigrants are not criminals. They pay taxes and are good neighbors. They are faithful members of our churches and mosques, synagogues, wadara, and temples. I ask you to have mercy, Mr. President, on those in our communities whose children fear that their parents will be taken away, and that you help those who are fleeing war zones and persecution in their own lands to find compassion and welcome here. Our God teaches us that we are to be merciful to the stranger, for we were all once strangers in this land.
And we have one final cut, the closing remarks, Reverend Buddy. Let's hear it.
May God grant us the strength and courage to honor the dignity of every human being, to speak the truth to one another in love, and walk humbly with each other and our God for the good of all people, the good of all people in this nation and the world. Amen.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That was the Reverend Buddy speaking at the National Prayer Service. One of those cuts directly to the president. And let's see, what was the critique from the president after? Just a little highlight. The so-called bishop was a radical left hardline Trump hater. She's very ungracious the way she brought her church in the world of politics. She's nasty in tone, not compelling or smart.
See, I found her tone welcoming, gentle,
yeah,
guiding, encouraging.
I wish I could have that tone. I mean, it was measured. I thought all the God stuff aside, yes, absolutely. The heart, the truth, you know, the foundations of what you talk about, human dignity, honesty, humility, mercy. Now, I don't believe in God save or any of the 11 religions that were there today, any of that. But I do believe in human dignity, in honesty, and some humility, and mercy. Yes, absolutely. That's the community. She talked about the common good and the unity. How is that nasty? I'm sorry, Matt, please. What are your thoughts in the context of Trump's criticism?
Yeah, I mean, she said what desperately needed to be said, and directly to the person who needed to hear it, and to the rest of us. And as Jess said, yeah, it was a very calm voice from a slender woman, not imposing physically, but imposing morally, and just saying to someone who has no respect for human dignity, who can't tell the truth to save his life, who has no humility, that actually human dignity, honesty, and humility is what we need in this country. And it was a direct rebuttal to his inauguration speech, where he talked, you know, about unity in a real bogus way, and, you know, wasn't honest or humble at all. And here is a guy who's got tremendous power over people's lives. And yeah, people are fearing for their lives today, whether you're LGBT or whether you are an undocumented person or in a family with undocumented people. There's just tremendous fear out there. So she was right to recognize that and bring it forward. So I just have great admiration for Bishop Buddy and the courage it took for her to just lay it all out there right in front of Trump.
Likewise, Matt, I thought she did a fine job. And I, you know, the message is the message. And if you listen to that, and if you're one of the, you know, religious folks in this world, even if you're MAGA, if you're not, whatever the case is, if you're a believer in you know, some afterlife, and maybe it's Jesus, maybe it's something else, How can you listen to those words and think that that's nasty and that's terrible and ungracious? You know what I'm saying? So consider the source in the criticism of President Trump. I just admire the strength. And I think it's something that people need to really do in all aspects of your life. I mean, we're in this space.
We're here now.
We're here. Yeah. We're here. And what are the core foundational principles, if not human dignity and honesty and humility and forgiveness and mercy? You know, I went to public high school, public grade school, Catholic high school. So I wasn't like trained in all the stuff. But I've heard all that before from those who claim to be faithful, those who claim they want to ascend to heaven after their mortal time on earth is done. I've never heard anything like that from Donald Trump. 855-752-4842. Got a couple callers. We'll get to you as well, but you got to tell us something good. Our next segment, you got to tell us something good. Matt brought something to the table. I think Jess will be here. And a couple of callers will squeeze you in as well. But. We'll have your comments, but you also got to throw in something good. Folks, this is the Dom Salvi Show. Come back with us one last segment, 855-752-4842.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Dom Salvia Show. One last segment in our revisit of January 22nd. You know what it is. Tell us something good.
I am inspired by a Reverend Buddy. Mark from Sussex chimes in. What, Dom had a sermon? Yeah, man, I went to go sing. I didn't believe any of it, but I certainly can appreciate the love in the air, man. When you feel the love, love is love, and I love the love. 855-752-4842. Matt, you came today with something good. Tell me about it, man.
Well, I've got two good things. One is I saw 55 goldfinches out on my railing I was feeding this morning. So
wow! That's I saw the picture you posted. Was it yesterday?
Or yesterday. Yeah, that was a record. Beautiful. So 55.
Wow.
You got to feed the birds, especially in this cold. But I brought a poem from Ada Limón, who is the U.S. Poet Laureate. I'd seen her speak in Madison about 6 months ago. Bought her book called Carrying, an incredible book. Highly recommend it. And I think we have this poem, don't we, Jess?
Indeed.
Let's hear it.
Instructions on not giving up. More than the fuchsia funnels breaking out of the crab apple tree. More than the neighbor's almost obscene display of cherry limbs shoving their cotton candy-colored blossoms to the slate sky of spring rains. It's the greening of the trees that really gets to me. When all the shock of white and taffy, the world's baubles and trinkets leave the pavement strewn with the confetti of aftermath, the leaves come. Patient, plodding, a green skin growing over whatever winter did to us, a return to the strange idea of continuous living. Despite the mess of us, the hurt, the empty. Fine then, I'll take it. The tree seems to say, a new slick leaf unfurling like a fist to an open palm. I'll take it all.
Oh, I do love that. That's Ada Limón reading her poem, Instructions on Not Giving Up. And we can't give up. We need to keep being patient. We need to keep plodding, as she says there. So I love that. I think we need that kind of advice at a time like this.
The leaves will come.
Yeah.
Jess, you got anything you want to share?
I do.
All right.
I protected my time, my well-being, by turning off my notifications, saying, I love you to all my friends, and then putting my phone away and playing some video games with my husband.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
And what did you play?
Baldur's Gate 3.
Oh, is that like a...
It is 5th edition Dungeons & Dragons turned into a video game, and it's a lot of fun.
Really?
It's so much fun.
Do you have like characters? You build characters up and all? All
right. I've got a paladin going right now, so she smacks things real hard, but also with holy vengeance.
Oh, is it like a computer game or a console game?
It's on console or PC. Oh, so we're playing it on a PS5.
All right. 855-752-4842. I'm going to squeeze this one out there. I know in my heart, I always want to be honest with you folks. And I have to tell you something bothered me the last couple of days. I talked about the band Badfinger. And I talked about how I played some music. And in example of that, we played a song called I Got a Line on You, which was done by Spirit. Mm-hmm. Now, I know that's not the same band as Badfinger, but I expressed in my telling of the story, because it was on my Badfinger playlist, that I commingle the two. So the song I Got a Line on You is not by Badfinger, of course. It's by Spirit.
Mm-hmm.
And it bothered me for 2 days.
It really did. It's been
bothering me. And so I just got to tell you, I say it when I mean it, man. I'm here to be as honest as I possibly can. And if I ever so rarely get it wrong, I guarantee you I will correct the record. Please hold me to it.
Mm-hmm. Man, if that's what keeps you up at night, Dom, you've been leading a good life, baby.
I was like, how can I mix that up, man?
We got off the show on Monday, and he just put his head in his hands and went, I said it wrong.
That's the worst thing you've done. You're good.
Thank you. Thank you, Matt. Thank you, Jess. 855-752-4842. I got a line in you. If we could hear that, it'd be great, too. Let's get to the phones. Last couple of minutes here. Alan from Jackson, you are up. Welcome, Alan. What do you got for us?
Hey, yeah. So a lot of people on both sides, Democrats and Republicans, have been throwing around this word unity. I've got kind of a hot take on that, and that is, you know, there are few that have been more unified than Germany in 1939.
Mm.
And this regime is not one I'm going to get unified under. So they can take their unity and stick it where the sun don't shine.
Right. Great point. I guess it depends on the context, right? Wisco Paul, you'll have the last word. Welcome. What do you got for us?
I'd like to report gas prices are down, but they're up. Basically, Dom, the GOP is dead as a party. It's a Trump party. So the good news is Civic Media is still on the air. You haven't been shut down yet. So
Not yet. Thanks for the call, Paul. You know, the night is young. We'll see what happens. Some of the texters, Todd from De Pere says, tell you something good. Trump has less than 4 full years in office, albeit 2 days less than 4 years. Every day closer to 1/2029 counts. Yes, it's the little things.
It's the little things. Andrew from Maine shares something good. He was able to donate blood.
Nice, Andrew. Well
done.
Apparently,
last time he tried, he couldn't meet the requirements, but this time he could, and that is definitely something good.
Right on. Thank you, Andrew.
Stick around on the Dom Salvia Show as we revisit a best hour of Harvey K., our favorite Delano Democrat.
But we don't need miracles to tumble from the sky.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.